You're listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I learned two important lessons in my youth. One of them came from the radio and the other came from the television. We were not church-going. I wish I could say one came from the Bible, but that's not who we were. The one from the radio was the song, the hit single by girl group and Nepo baby powerhouse Wilson Phillips. If you weren't around then and don't know who Wilson Phillips were or are, if you've seen the movie Bridesmaids, at the end they make a cameo playing the song at the end of the wedding. Thanks be to God. Now the problem with the song, what I learned, the song says basically that if you hold on, you yourself can change your life. You have the power to change your life. Just got to turn around and make a change. So the song says. This was the first thing that I learned was not true. People can change, but it is not so simple as just deciding to do it. The other lie came from the television, and that was an advertisement campaign that ran for many years for Toyota. I have nothing against Toyotas. We have a Toyota. We drive it. It's great. If you work for Toyota, I'm sorry. This is not personal. All I can say is that the ad did what almost every ad does, which says that this product will make your life better. This product will make you happier. We've had products for a long time. Look at magazines from 1926. You know, I found some at my grandparents' farm, and they're all about how this, you know, new soap will make your life better. We still say the same thing today. Anyways, Toyota, I'm losing my point. Toyota, it showed this picture of a car, and people were jumping next to the car like they had won the lottery, and like their relationship dreams had come true, and they'd just gotten the job of their dreams. And they were just jumping, yelling out, "Maya Toyota." I have never been that excited about anything in my life. And I remember watching this as an 8-year-old thinking, how could anybody be that excited about a car? I mean, the new car smell is great, but it only lasts so long. It was such an exaggeration. And this is why I began to think that the world was lying to me a little bit. You can't be that happy about that. What is going on here? Well, here we are on Ash Wednesday to come against the lies that the world tells for a industrial strength dose of truth. And this is the thing. The reason the lies are so popular, that you can change on your own, and that stuff will make you happier, and you can fill in the blank with all kinds of stuff, jobs, relationships, all of the material things. The reason those things are so seductive is because we would really like them to be true. We would like to be able to change. We would like stuff to make us happy. We're still trying. We're holding out hope that it will work. We believe these things because they are enticing, and it seems that everybody around us believes them too. You can change, and stuff will make you happy. There's a lot of people here tonight, so maybe you are already clued in a little bit to the truth, but I feel if we really wanted to pack out Ash Wednesday, we should lean further into the lies. And instead of saying, remember that you're dust, we should just say, remember that you can make a difference, and then instead of putting ashes on your head, just a Botox injection right here. That'll make us happy, right? We'll look great. We'll feel great. Instead of Ash Wednesday, call it Motivational Wednesday or something like that. We'll put up motivational posters over the stained glass, and you'll just walk out of here with a pep in your step and able to make a difference. But no, not only do we not smooth the lines on your forehead, your little worry line, we rub ashes into it to really accentuate it. We grind dirt into it to highlight it. But this is truth. Right? The world is full of people who look great on the outside, but are actually dying on the inside. Sometimes literally, sometimes spiritually, sometimes emotionally, and sometimes a combination of all of it. And so we come to get real about what's on the inside. The prophet Joel, the thing you heard tonight, the prophet Joel tells people to rend their hearts, not their clothing. He says people would rend their clothing. Rend means to rip or to tear. And they would experience some pain, maybe as a result of sin or some suffering. And they would show their grief and they would rip their clothing to show it. And he says that is on the outside. You need to rend your hearts. Break your heart, not your athleisure. Look at what's inside, not what's outside. And so that's what we do on Ash Wednesday. We try to get real about this really big problem of being human. I mean, this is the thing. The world says you can change. Wilson Phillips says you can change. Michael Jackson says, start with the man in the mirror. Make a change. But think, let me offer another example of why that is, doesn't work. Think about someone. And do not give side eye to anyone when I say this. Think about someone who is overbearing. Someone you know who's overbearing. You know, they're always the expert in every situation. They offer their opinion even when you did not ask for it, nor do you want it. Even when there are actual experts in the room, they will say, well, you know, I read on the online. Someone who just, overbearing. You know the type. Picture that person in your mind. And now think about you approaching that person and saying, you know, you may not have noticed, but you are a little overbearing, and I'd like you to stop. And then imagine what their reaction would be. Thank you. I had no idea. I will now stop. Do you have any other suggestions? People don't just change. And maybe it's not someone who's overbearing. Think about someone who's impatient. Maybe it's you. Just think about somebody telling you. When you're impatient and frustrated, when somebody tells you to calm down, and they quote Axl Rose, have a little patience, you have the opposite of patience. Think about someone who is always anxious and worried about what other people think of them. There's a level of insecurity. And telling people, don't worry. People aren't thinking about you. Just put it out of your mind. Again, easier said than done. Even if they want to stop, they can't. And this is the thing, that you can't fix it. And, you know, I see this problem time and again between we know what we want, we even think we can get there, we know the steps to take to get there, but there's this execution gap. We can't quite do it. This was on full display at the Olympics this week, and I was overcome with compassion as I watched the two great favorites of the United States to not only get on the podium, but likely win a gold medal in figure skating, Ilya Malin and Amber Glenn of Plano, Texas. And these people were world champions in non-Olympic years. They were at the top of their game. Everybody thought they would just kind of wipe the floor or the rink with everybody. And they did these routines that I'm sure they had practiced thousands of times and tried to do jumps that they had nailed thousands of times. And the muscle memory is deep, and they can do it. And yet, they both had these disastrous falls that ended their dreams. And you could see the heartbreak. And I was watching this thinking, good Lord, if this is what happens to Olympians, if they can't do it, I'm toast. I mean, I don't want to win an Olympic gold medal. I just want to get my taxes paid by April 15th. You know, I just want to kind of do normal things. And that seems to be a big enough challenge for me. So here we are, trying to change, find ourselves struggling to do it. Here we are, with this execution gap, we know where we want to go and we can't quite get there. And this is where the world would say, try harder, you can do it, and I try to buck you up and motivate you and inspire you about all the wonderful things about you. And those wonderful things are true. You are loved and worthy and children of God, made in God's image. That's all true. But when people tell you that as a way to sort of sweep the hard stuff under the rug, do you ever feel like somebody's just kind of selling you a bill of goods? Because if it were just a case of thinking positively, you would already have arrived and be the person you want to be. So this is what Ash Wednesday comes to do, is to give you help, to tell you the truth. And you're going to come up and we're going to do this very odd thing. We're going to put ashes on your head, ashes that represent a failure, because they are ashes from the burning of the palms from Palm Sunday, the day when Jesus entered Jerusalem in triumph, but he knew that he was going to die. And we take those ashes and we put them on your head and we tell you, you are dust. And you're going to return to dust. Dust doesn't do much. Dust can't change itself. Dust doesn't organize itself into some greater principle. Dust doesn't have a vision board. Dust is not self-actualized. We remind you that you are made of frail stuff, that you are going to die. And all these pains and difficulties and struggles and broken dreams and relationships that have been challenging and careers that haven't turned out and the person that you would like to be but are not, all these things, the chronic pain, the debilitating depression, these things in your life that you wish you could alter but can't, these are ways for everybody in this room. There's not a single person who's spared from this. Everybody in this room is already experiencing, in these small ways, death beginning to break into life. We think that death happens at the end, and it does. But it's also doing its work already for each person in this room. That may sound heavy and hard, especially because there are young people in this room. But this is the truth of being human. And it's not meant to scare you. It's not meant to be morose or morbid or overly negative. It's simply to tell the truth that we are all frail and weak and we are all passing away. And what that does for us is it gives us the gift of perspective, and it might give us the gift of relaxing our white knuckle grip that we have on everything in our life. And might realize that we have a lot less control than we think. And when we begin to be freed, I don't say freed, because that's a lifelong process. When we begin to be freed, maybe a little more free. When we begin to see that we are people who are not victorious warriors, but actually bruised and broken children. That we are people that we begin to see we need help. And that's what the gospel comes to tell you. That's the good news of God in Christ, that he sees us in our suffering and our frailty and our weakness. He doesn't say, gosh, must be rough to be you, puny humans. He says, I actually want to be a puny human with you. I want to be in the suffering with you. I want to comfort you in that and be present with you in that. And I want to do the one thing for you that you cannot do for yourself, which is to defeat death. All the small ones that happen now and the big one at the end. And I want to wipe away your sins and the things that burden you. Because when we put that dust on your forehead, we don't just give you a big thumbprint. We don't sprinkle you with it. We take that dust and we make the shape of the cross, to remind you that, yes, you are dust and you will return to dust, but the one who made you from that dust is the one who on the cross has given himself for you. And I know I'm supposed to say this because I'm a preacher and there's a big cross on the wall, but it really is true. And I'm a true believer, and I pray that you are, or a part of you is, but whether you are or not, this is what the love of God for the world is shown to be, that God would take on human flesh and give up and die, so that your sins could be washed away, and that death could be defeated, and that the tomb would be empty, and the hope of resurrection is given to all of you. Because this is the biggest lie that the world tells you, is that life is about getting better in incremental ways. And there can be meaningful, significant change in that. But ultimately, the thing that looms over all of us that we can't control is the reality of our death and the end of all things. But this is what God shows us, that he comes to destroy death once and for all in his resurrection. And this is what we mean. Remember that you're dust and you'll return to dust. But there is a resurrection and there is a hope and there is life eternal, everlasting, with the joy and the love. And the only place where people have ever jumped for joy, not for a Toda, but really meant it,
was what they knew they were fully healed and fully whole and in the presence of God who loved them. And that is where we are headed, by God's grace. Now, that's a lot for Ash Wednesday. That's a lot for just the middle of the week, hump day. You worked today. You went to school today. You went to the doctor today. It's not a Sunday. It's just a normal Wednesday. Well, thanks be to God that a normal Wednesday, we put dust on your head and remind you that you are frail. You are weak. There will be an end. But there also will be a new beginning, the grace of God, the one who went to the cross and emptied the tomb and will call us home, my beloved dusty sisters and brothers. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.